Today's Mishnah, Masechet Parah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Yud, Mishnah Beit. Now this is a very confusing Mishnah, because up until now, we introduced the concept of what we called a Tum'at Madaf vis-a-vis Parah. What was the Tum'at Madaf until now? Well, that was the first Mishnah. Which simply meant that the Rabbanan made a gezerah, even on Kalim Tahirim, even on Kalim that were Tahirim for Kadesh, that they are considered to be the equivalent of Tumas Midras, since they could be Midras, for anything that has to do with the Parah Aduma. And that was the meaning of Madaf over there, was simply Kol Alei Nidaf, as the Gemara says, it's like a floating leaf. In other words, it's not a well-based Tumah. That is to say, there's no D'oraisa basis for it. It's Kuloi Ma'ala Osu Lepora. Because of that, to distinguish it from a true Midras D'oraisa, so we call it a Tumat Madaf. However, there is a real Tumat Madaf, and that is a completely different idea, which has the same language and therefore is very confusing. And that is called, in another way of referring to it, Elyono Shel Zav. So what we learn out over here, and this was not a Gezerah Derabbanan, and this is called Madaf for another reason. So this is called Madaf, although I must admit that there's some who disagree with the way I'm being mafarshed. And they don't believe we're only referring to Elyono Shel Zav, and that but these are like later Achrayim that are Mefarshit this way, and that we're talking about all Tumas that are Derabbanan. But the din of Elyono Shel Zav, remember, a Zav in terms of Midras, whatever the Zav is going to sit down on or ride on is considered to be Tumay Midiraisa, even the Princess and the Pea. And that was no matter how many things there are between the Zav himself and the actual object that's going to be Mekabel Tumah, it ends up being Mekabel a Tumah that is very Chomor, which is Tumas Midras. And Tumas Midras is Betame as an Ava Tumah, despite the fact that it was 20 steps down away from the Zav. Incredibly, it is still considered to be a Tumah. Now, the thing is that there is a halacha that not only is the midras, meaning tachtono shel zav, anything that's underneath the zav that was roi for mishkav u'moshav, that is tame, but there's also another type of tuma, which is the elyone shel zav. So if something was on top of the zav, not that the zav is on top of them, and suppose there was 10 mattresses or anything at all, one on top of the other. So this guy likes to go around wearing 10 hats, one on top of the other. The top hat is also going to be Mekabel Tumah. And over here, it doesn't have to be a kli that's right for Tumas Midras. Obviously, all of those things are considered to be Elyone Shel Zav, and they're all mitame a special way, namely, that even though the Tachtoino Shel Zav is Metame Midiraisa, even Tuma Odom, even Tumas Kalim, which is very Chomor, this Halacha, which is an extension to Rabbanan, called Elyone Shel Zav, that is Metame only Tumas Eichlin V'mashkin. And the place where this becomes very Nogea, that we refer to the entire concept even where it is a D'oraisa, and that is someone who sleeps with a nida, so it says v'tei tumata alav, the din is over there that the alav is ke'el yonah shel zav, and it's different than the actual mishkav in moshav of a zav. So this concept is a very well-established concept. A el yonah shel zav is called a tumas madav as well, madav. And therefore, it too is a tumakala, and so we refer to it that way specifically in order to distinguish it from the idea of the midras of Azov, which is mitame adam, and it's mitame kalim. So now, most of the Rishayim hold that in our Mishnah, the Madaf that we're referring to is not the Madaf that we were referring to yesterday, which is the Mala Asu B'Pora, to call something which is Mamish Tahor and to call it Tameh. Here it's referring to something that really is Tameh because it was the Elyon HaShozof. We're calling that the Madaf. The reason that we have to say that is because the simple reading of this Mishnah is a direct contradiction. If you're going to learn that the Madaf is the same Madaf, it's a direct contradiction to the previous Mishnah. And that's why almost all of the Mefarshim understand that it's there actually as a juxtaposition to recognize that the word Madaf has different applications. So now, in this case, somebody who was Tor Lechatas, so he had Mepetavka Ben Toivo in mind to keep himself roi to utilize the Mechatas, and he ended up being Nogea in a Madaf, which in this case means the Elyonei Shozov. So even though normally Elyonei Shozov is only Metame, Mashkin, Eichlin, and Mashkin, but in this case, because of the Chumrah of the Poraduma, this person who was Nogea with the Madaf actually becomes Tomei, because we made a special Gezerah that if he touches the Madaf with his hands, then he becomes a Tomei because of the Chumrah of Para. Okay? Again, this, if it were the normal Madaf, would have created for us a lot of problems, because it's not what we said in the previous Mishnah about someone who is Tahor for Chatas. And so even though it looks like this Mishnah is simply a continuation of the same Adaf we were talking about, it opens up with a Beferish contradiction, because the Mishnah we had yesterday is saying that if you actually touch the Madaf, but the Mishnah that we had yesterday was saying is that if you have a Madaf lechatat, then it would be metame even b'masa, or even b'heset, which is a completely different halacha than saying if you were nogea. So therefore, it must be that we're talking about a different issue here, which is Elyon HaShozof. Okay. Now, if we start off with this kli that was Tor Lechatas, and we have lagin. Now, the reason that we specify lagin for a chatas, which is a kli that is used for the mei chatas, but it's referring to a kli shetef, meaning that it has tahira b'mikveh, because a kli cheres is not going to be the same din over here, because touching a kli cheres on the outside is not metamein. So if you have a lagin, Shenaga b'madav, and here it wouldn't matter what type of madav we're talking about, it would become tameh for the use for the chatas. So a madav, which was yesterday's madav, a madav lechatas, is indeed metameh an odam, yes, even beheset, and even b'masa. That's what we learned yesterday. But a kli, which is tor lechatas, is only going to become tameh if it actually is bimaga. And that would mean that this piece of the Mishnah could be referring to either madaf, because since we're talking about the tumas kli, there was never a gezera to be matame behesed. The din of mas and hesed, a kli can't be matame by carrying something or moving something. That's a din in an adam. And therefore, if we're talking about an Elyon HaShozov, it would only be metame on Adam also, b'maga. Okay, so now we have a clear sense of what's going on. A literal gezera, that something has a din of tumas midras, namely it's a madaf, drabanan, of even stam kelim that were kosher for a hegdash, which are considered to be midras lezov, lechatas, that would be metame an Adam, but only an Adam, beheset b'masa. It would be metame a kli, assuming it's a kli that can be makabel tumah from the outside, namely a kli shetef that can have taira b'mikveh. It would be metame a kli, but only b'maga, because the concept of heset and masa does not apply b'pashtus to kelim, since they can't move things and carry things. Now, of course, we have another completely different issue, which we saw in Masechet Kelim, which is Evan Misame, which we're not discussing over here. Fine. So that would be Mitame. The difference between the Madaf of Achatas and the Madaf of Elyona Shozov is completely not Nogea when it comes to the din of being Mitame Kelim, because the Kli will be Mitame only Bamaga. Doesn't matter whether it's the Masa, the thing that would normally be Mitame in Adam Bamasa B'Midras, which is the Madaf of Achatas, or whether it's Elyona Shozov, which would not be Mitame normally Bamaga Bamasa, but which is extended here to be Mitame Adam, the Kelim for Chatas, but only Bamaga. Whew. Okay, so that's a real mouthful, and it requires you to really get clear the different categories of the Gezeres Derabanan in the Milas of Torah. Atahor lechatat, shenaga ba'ochlin umashkin, biyodo. So let's say he touches things that are not tahor for the paras chatas, but it doesn't matter whether they're literally tameh or whether they're just tahor, but they're tahor because they're kadesh, but they're not chatas. Here it's the same halacha. If you get an actual maga biyodei, so then you become tamei lechatas. But why is this? Because, remember, we talked yesterday, we have one of the malos. I'm sorry that this is so complex, gentlemen, but we'll get through this. Up until now, we've just been having fun. Now things are getting a little serious. So, okay, get ready to suffer a little bit. So,
Rebbe is the paramedic.
So the point over here is that it isn't really that it's metamehim for the paras chatas. It's an ancillary impact of a halacha that we spoke about yesterday. Namely, that since eichlin and mashkim, which are tmeim, remember we said yesterday, they're metameis hayadayim, that's the gabe truma. But when you have tumas yadayim, when it comes to para, you have a second gezerah that automatically kicks in. Why? Because remember the din is the gabi the paras chatas, as Gavi wrote down yesterday. Nitmu yadav, nitma gufa. That itself was one of the miles of para. So since you have the normal halacha over here of tumas yadayim, with somebody who touches erchlin umashkin, that if there's stam erchlin, their metame es yada for truma. So because of that, you would actually end up being completely tame. Your entire body would become tame. Amazing. But if you touched it with your foot, where there's no din that mayim, or mashkin and erchlin tameim are metame your body, it's only a din of yadayim. So if you touched it, even if your mamish touched it with your foot, you would be tar. So if you started off as a Torah lechatas, and you were negeya eichlin umashkin, whether they're tmeim or tahirin, you would remain tahar, because there is no gezera of negeya even for a chatas. It's only because of the ancillary impact of the normal halakha that mashkin, tmeim, or metame is ayadayim. Hisitan biyado. Now, what about tumas hesed? Suppose a Torah lechatas would not have touched these things, the ochlin umashkin. He simply moved them. They were in something else. He never came into direct contact with them. So Rabbi Yoshua says, we cannot be more makel on hesed than we are on negiyah. Because normally hesed is dafka, the way that people get confused, like we had the case yesterday of the key that's in the door lock, where a person closes the door without even realizing there's a key in the door. That's the chumrah of hesed, that you would be tameh, as if you actually touched the key. See, even though there is no direct din of tumas hesed on this tumah kala of mashkin v'eichlin, but as a gezerah that people will get mixed up, if we allow where he knows that he moved it and will allow him to remain tahor, and it'll be less than touching it, so then he's going to get confused in a case where really there was hesed, and he'll end up becoming tameh. So Since if it were a kli, the din would be that if it was mekabel tumas meis and so on, even though it's not roi l'midras, it would still be metame, the person who's meis din, because of madaf, as we saw yesterday. So because of that, we make a gezera, that even though there was no direct din of a gezera on the gia, since a tohar lechatas, if he would actually be nogea, there was a gezera, and he would end up becoming tameh as yadayim, and therefore his entire body would be coming also tameh, because of the overall din of that. There's no such thing as separating a hand from a body when it comes to the chatas. So because of that, we would have to say that even in a case where there's no direct gezera of tumah, but we have to make a gezera of tumas hesed. That's Rabbi Yeshua Svar. The chachamim mitarin, even if these eichlin or mashkin are literally tamei, they can't be mitamei a person, and therefore they will not be mitamei a Torah lachatas unless it's b'maga, and then it would spread to his body. But since these are not things that there was ever a gezer of tumas hesed, the din is that they would not be mitamei whatsoever. Okay? A bit complex, and there's a lot more that really could be discussed about this Mishnah, but I think it should at least wait until after you have a chance to review this Mishnah. Now, suppose Mishnah Gimel, Perakut, Mishnah Gimel. So suppose we have a situation where you've got a kalal shel chatat. A kalal refers to a specifically non-mekabel tuma kli. So it could be referring to a kli evan, and a kli evan is not mekabel tuma at all, no matter where it would be touched by the tuma. Or it could be talking about a container like a coffee mug, which can only be mekabel tuma from the inside and not from the outside, as Akiva is trying to show us. Although that coffee mug seems to have a metallic top, which will make all types of confusing halakhas. Okay. Well, we'll do that when we get back to Chazrin Kalim again. So this kalal shel chatat, and it was nogea in an avatuma. So it was again a sheretz. There's no problem. It retains its tahara because a kli that is evan is not mekabel tuma at all, and a kli that is made out of cheres is only mekabel tuma from the inside. Now, suppose you take the kalal, and this is a fascinating halacha. You take this kalal, which cannot be mekabel tuma, and you put it on top of this dead sheretz. What about that? Says Rebbe Eliezer, well, what about then? What's the difference? If there is Efer Pora in this kalal, it has no way of becoming tamei. There's no din of an ayel over a sheretz, is there? There's no din of tuma on the kli. So what would possibly affect Efer Pora that was inside this kli? It should be fine. And nonetheless, the chachamim are mitame. Why are they mitame? Because of a completely new halacha that has nothing to do with any of the tumas that we've seen so far. And that is that since it says, V'yasaf ish taharet efer hapara, v'hiniach michutz l'machane, now dig these two words, v'hiniach michutz l'machane bimakom tahar. What is bimakom tahar supposed to mean? Well, what does the place have to do with it? Either it's able to be makabel tuma or not able to be makabel tuma. It doesn't even make sense. Whoever heard of a concept called a makom tahar? But therefore, what we're introducing here is a new concept. What is the space in which the efer pora is munach? Since over here you put it directly on top of the sheretz, it cannot be called a makom tahar, is it? It's on a makom tameh. And therefore, there's a new din that passes it because it's not in a mokum tahar. Obviously, Reb Eliezer says, look, what is a mokum tahar supposed to mean? Either it's tahar or it's tummy. There's no way for it to be makabel tuma, and therefore, in this case, it should be perfectly okay to use that efer. Noga. Let's say this kalal was touching erchlin, umashkin, which are tmein, or it was touching a sefer Torah, and remember, that a Sefer Torah is metame the adayim, to become posel for truma. And the reason we did that, remember, was the special gezera. We did not want people putting truma next to sifrei Torah, because that's what they would do. Their most secure place was the Aron, you know. So if it was a kohen who had truma, so he figured the place to put it where it's never going to be makabel truma would be to put it next to the sefer Torah. The truma is kadesh, the sefer Torah is kadesh, so we should put them together. Because they used to do this, they would attract all types of rodents to actually the truma, and then they would chew on the sefer Torah. They would end up destroying the sefarim. So we made a gezerah that a sefer Torah is even metame yadayim to touch truma. Now, in this case, the kalal is touching kisvei hakodesh. But since the actual kalal cannot be tame by touching, then it remains tahor. And there's no din of tumas kelim. Nitano agabehen. What about if you put the kalal on top of eichlin u'mashkin that were tmei? So Rabbi Yossi says, if there's efer in this kalal, it's tahor. Even though we said that if it's a sheretz, it's tame, but that's because the Torah would have called it a mokum tame, because a sheretz is an avatuma d'oraisa. But over here, a gezeira d'rabbana that make kisvei hakodesh or eichlin u'mashkin able to be metame yadayim, that the Torah would never have called a non-makom tahor, because it's a completely new idea of the rabbana. And therefore, Tainas Rabbi Yossi, even though I agree with the Chachamim, and I disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, who claimed there's no such thing as a tumah that would come from a mokum that isn't tahor, this is not a mokum that isn't tahor. Hashem ken the Chachamim or metamim, that the mokum needs to be tahor even from a tumah derabbanan. So this becomes another milah of tumah derabbanan that would be nogea only and specifically the din of Efer Pora, because the Torah was mitzaviyu to be meniach michutz halachana b'mokom tahor. According to Rabbanan, even a tumah derabbanan would change the nature of the place, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to put the kolol with the Efer without destroying the Efer. Amazing, amazing new halacha. Okay, gentlemen, I'll leave you with this tremendous chiddush for now, and hopefully we'll be zecher to continue our mad, dizzying exploration of Maseches Parah, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. Take care, all. Thank you so much.